Blog Talk Radio.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Kino Tri Show. Whether it's ratchet or inspirational, dope or disturbing, let's talk about it. You never know who'll stop through. This dude's worldwide. So kick your feet up, relax, and let the libations flow. It's the Kino Tri Show. All the cool kids are listening. Don't be a Stanley.
What's up? What's up, everybody? And welcome to another episode of the Kino Tri Show. It is Tuesday, October 6th. I almost forgot the day.
Every day, all day.
And I'm in the studio with my partner in crime, Jamil
what
Harley.
Up, what up? What up?
A.K.A. Young Beige. And our special guest of the evening is Tyler Dubs. What's up, Tyler?
What's going on, Kino? Jamil, what's happening with y'all, man? Appreciate y'all having me.
I'm glad you're here, man. I didn't want to be by myself with.
Yeah, especially after you called him. What is the Beige Sensation? What is he? What's his wrestling name? His WWE name, the Beige Elbow.
No, that's my hip hop name, Young Beige.
Young Beige.
Young Beige, that's right. You and Young Berg should come out with a whole mixtape, the new joint. Forget Future and Drake. Young Berg, Young Beige.
Young Berg,
what a time to be light skinned.
Yeah, it is pretty light skinned in here.
What?
I got y'all beaten. That's rare that I can say that in any environment that I'm the darker brother in the situation.
Are you been in that sunlight, man?
No, I don't go. Look, well, my girl ain't here, but you can ask her. I don't go outside. I hate outside.
Well, how'd you get brown?
He's from Cali.
Look at me, how I get brown. I was born this way, brother. Why you? Why are you reverse racism in me?
He light on the internet.
Filters,
he put
brother.
On
the
light
filter.
Filter.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Obama popping. You know what I mean?
Privilege,
you know?
Sundays brought to you.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, if Ben Carson wins the election, then you know what I mean? I go back to, you know, light skin. Ben but for right now, Ben, you know, I got to stay light. With Obama, you got to stay. Whatever he doing, you got to do. That's the smarter thing you can do.
Yeah, it's Obama's time running out, man. I'm scared for the light skins. I'm scared. Man
look, don't be afraid, man. It's gonna be all right. He's done so much, and with zero help.
Man, it's gonna pop off regardless. It's inevitable.
I'm surprised he ain't already just been that dude that we was expecting him to be from the beginning and start cursing people out and just being real, because basically, you know, it's over. I thought as soon as he started this second set of 4 years, I was like, all right, now we about to see Barry. We about to see Barry do his thing and tell these people, like, look, I know what you're doing. You're doing this because it's racist, and I understand, but how can we work this? I thought he was really going to bring it to the forefront, because everybody knows they're blocking everything he does, and they made it a pact to block everything he does because he's black. They don't have any other standings. They can't say we're doing this because they're just saying he is taking over our country.
Yeah.
Whose country is our country? Whatever. I'm sorry.
I mean, no.
I don't even know what the show topic is.
And another thing,
we all light skins together.
Right, that's an interesting rant, because I tell people, hey, what's life going to be like after Barack's gone? Are we going to have to all report to the nearest plantation?
Man,
what's going to go
you
on?
Know what? You know what? I hate to say it, and I hope I'm wrong, but I was right about it. Right about a thing I said when he got elected. Right before he got elected, I said, man, this may be the worst thing that could happen for race relations.
Right.
In our country, is this to happen? Because now we started seeing all the weirdos come really, really to the forefront. And I could tell, like, when Obama was elected the first time, I was working a square gig. I had, you know, 9 to 5. And the date, it was the Tuesday or whatever he got elected. The date, the Wednesday went into work, like, everything was different. White people were looking like we were going to do something extra different on that day.
And did you get the same vibe as when OJ popped off?
So this is the thing. When I wasn't around it. I was younger, obviously, and I was in Los Angeles, and I wasn't around hardly any white people. Like, if there was a white teacher brave enough to come and teach in my school, that was the only
what
white people
I saw.
What part
of Los Angeles are you from?
I'm from South Central Inglewood.
Word,
yeah,
word,
so I
okay.
lived there, but I went to Baldwin Hills and then Audubon Elementary.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. So it's blacks and Mexicans for real.
Right, right.
Like
right.
it was it was a split. It was crazy when I came to the South and I was the only black kid in my class. For the first four periods of the day.
What area did you grow up in? Here?
Here? Yeah. It was in South Carolina where I moved out here to when I was going to school before I went to college. Oh, my mom's job transferred from LA to doing insurance to a place in South Carolina. I went there. When I got there, it went from me being never seen white kids.
Really?
Only we had a white teacher, Miss Barrett. Shout out to you. I know she's still alive. Hopefully she's still alive.
Hopefully.
I mean, she was young. She was like a 22-year-old teacher at the time, so you know what I mean? She's not that old now. So it was her, you know what I mean? So so I went from that, got on the plane. It was in the middle of the school year. I get off the plane, go to bed, wake up. I go to class, and all my teachers are white, and every person in my – because the South is so bad educationally. Like, I wasn't a great – I was a good, very good student, but the level, our normal level on the West Coast
right,
was
higher.
So – yeah, so I was in, like, some real live college prep. AP classes with all, and it happened to be
like,
all the white kids.
Genius.
Right. Right. I was like, nah, this is regular math, guys. I don't know. I don't know what's going
on. What
are
you doing in the third
grade?
Yeah,
this ain't hard at all, but the South is so far behind. So when I got there, it was all white kids. And it was such a culture shock. And I'm saying that to say, to get back to my original point, when Barack leaves, it may go back to normal. Like, white people may feel a lot less threatened by us in terms of, like, the killing.
This ain't really normal, though. I don't think nothing.
Well, I'm saying, like,
I get what he's saying.
It's like all the police. I mean, police brutality has been a thing ever since before we were born. That's obvious. But, like, in terms of just the blatant out, like, just the killing of black people and the fact that the Tea Party comes from out of nowhere once he's elected. But right now, people are running for office, and the Tea Party is nowhere to be found because they don't think a black person is going to win this time.
Yeah.
So they don't have a problem. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So it's kind of – I feel like with him regressing, I think the outward blatant racism may regress.
I've heard that theory, too. I've heard that theory.
Yeah.
Right now, I mean, you know, America loves a black face to blame things on. So while they they can't find a job, while they gas is going up,
right.
You know, you got that magical black face right there. How convenient.
Right there.
So,
right there.
So if that black face ain't there to blame anymore, I get what you're saying. You know, that visual is gone. So,
well, I will say this because I follow Dr. Umar Johns. You ever heard of him?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
He
was here not too long ago.
Yeah, he's coming back the 28th.
Okay. I got to check it out
because
I missed it.
But he had predicted before the president got elected that all this stuff was going to happen. And then he's even predicting that because of the different policies that the current president has signed into office, that the lashings are still going to come after he leaves.
Okay.
And one thing that I feel about politics is really politics.
Oh, yeah.
So they could be going at Obama to rile up the people and divide, but they having dinner with each other. How's Michelle? She's all right.
Yeah, sorry.
I called her a big head.
Right. You know? It's like, yeah, it's like LeBron versus Melo. They're going to go at it during the game, but
yeah,
after the game, they're kicking
they turn
it.
Up.
They're kicking it. Okay. Yeah, man, you know what? I didn't predict anything in particular, but I never heard Umar Johnson say that, but I really did feel that. I was like, man, it might not be as good as we thinking it's about to be, bro, with the black president. And things have been really crazy for us.
Yeah.
and it hasn't been. I tell a joke where, like, literally, and this is a true story, the day after Barack got elected, I got fired. I got fired from my job.
Whoa. I thought my next day was weird.
I got fired.
What?
Literally.
What
true story.
I don't even remember where I was at when he got elected.
Yeah, I got
what?
Fired.
What?
Yeah.
By a white person fired you?
Oh, of course. I work in IT, so
gotcha.
It's not many of us
there.
So, yeah.
What did he say? Due to the current
stock market crash. What was odd was that I was actually a contractor, and they do that a lot in IT, especially when the economy crashed back in 2005 and all that stuff. So, And I was slated to become full-time. It was like, oh, you work 3 months, then we're going to make you full-time. Man, I got a call at my desk. Could you meet me in the lobby for a minute?
The lobby?
I was like, oh, this is it.
They
trying to play
you.
It off? Yeah, trying to play it off.
Could you meet me in the parking lot? Leave your badge.
And what was so funny was that my manager that day came by like, oh, you're doing such a good job. You want me to bring you some breakfast? No, I'm cool.
Has he ever offered you?
Black president in, I'm good. Like, I'm in the driver's seat.
Yo.
He was trying to give you the hint.
Right.
You should have took that.
That was the last meal, I guess.
You should have got that thing. You'd have been able to get out there.
And you know, they was probably in HR. We gotta let one go because we got a black president now, so we don't have to. We don't have to have color. Around.
Yeah, no tokenisms. Right. Wow.
It took me a minute to bounce back too.
Yeah,
took me a minute.
That's awful.
Yeah,
that is awful. So the reasoning was,
they didn't have to give a reason. I was a contractor.
Oh, he met you in the lobby and was like, bye.
He was like, we'll send somebody to get your stuff. And I should have known. I should have taken my stuff with me.
Let me get that swab.
Yeah.
No. So I was working with the Hawks when I first got out here, and that's actually what moved me from Atlanta. I was in Virginia in graduate school. When I finished, I was looking for something to do and ended up getting a job here in Atlanta with the Hawks. Let me tell you how they did me when they fired me. It's not that bad, though. It's not that bad. Jesus, that is awful. You should have fought him. Like, you could have fought him, and a judge might have understood. my boss was a female. She called me to her office. You know what I'm saying? Like, no, it was normal call me to her office, and I picked up the phone. She's like, can you come to my office real quick? I was like, okay, cool, put it down. I walked, but you could see inside of her office before they can see you, and I saw her and the lady from HR, and I saw... Like, I did a pretty decent job or whatever. Now, you know, good people, you know, people tend to like you on a regular, on a level outside of work.
Had that so watering eye, didn't
I? I looked in there. She was crying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I seen her, like, wiping her eyes, and I said, fuck. I don't even know how to say that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, you good.
I'm good. Fuck. So I stopped real quick, and I backed up before they could see me. I went on my computer. I erased I did a hard reset on that motherfucker. I got all my shit. I went down to my car, put my shit in my car.
Wow.
Called my mom. Yeah. Was like, Mom, I'm probably about to get fired. I'm going to let you know.
Right.
Went up there, went in there, got fired. She cried. I was like, man, fuck that. Fuck that shit. Don't be crying and firing me at the same time. Who do you think you are?
Wow.
But yours is worse.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say I got fired from this position, but when you was telling
me. No, you got fired.
You got fired, right? I'm not going to say fired.
I ain't going to say it, but
I'm
gonna say that's what happened to me.
You was telling your story, and that took me back. Like, my first job when I moved to Atlanta, it was recession had hit. And I was the application support specialist, and it was a small company, and everybody was getting let go.
They're all the way around. Yeah, but happened to me too. Yeah.
The salesperson just didn't come back. I was like, okay, I'm still answering calls. How can I help you? Then my boss, he stepped back. I'm like, how is my boss going to step back? So I was the only support rep there.
Oh, wow.
And then calls started slowing down. I was like, yeah, I probably should look. Nah, I ain't going to look. I ain't going to look for another job.
I was the same way.
Because I'm like, I'm going to get unemployment.
Boom.
Man, the owner's like, hey, Jamil, can I see you for a second?
And
I was like, you remember when you was little and you was about to get a whoop and you couldn't breathe?
What? And your body get hot? You're like, whoa, what is that heat wave?
But part of me wasn't scared because a week prior, he told me that they had put a 401k account in my name. Like, they was giving me $1,000.
Yeah.
I was like,
oh, okay. That was a goodbye gift.
Yeah.
That I never got. But
even worse. They showed you the ring. You're like, pop.
So I go to the office, and the wife, man, who's the president, is about as red as your shirt. She's
like, damn.
I was like, ah! And I had, like, this crossfire. Man, I was living
lavish. Oh, the crossfire didn't even make them no more.
Nah, they don't.
You have a collector's edition on them.
Brother, I went from Jamil to Cinderella to...
I ain't tripping. That job got me the condo that I'm currently staying in right now. You know what I'm saying? So I ain't tripping about it. It's just something about corporate America, man. They don't like to keep people, man. And I saw it too. Like, I should have started looking like you. They fired a dude. White dude had been there, man, 33 years, bro.
Oh yeah, when they let him go,
I'm like, all right. But I'm thinking, like, they ain't gonna get me because my department was hella small. So it wasn't even like we was taking up too much of the budget. I wasn't making nothing.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like the perk was free Hawks tickets. Then they were and they were horrible at the time, but the games were
that
fun.
That was right when Dominique left.
Man, I ain't that old, Jack. God, at least it was Joe Johnson was here. At least Jesus. He said, Dominique, you got me.
Way back.
You must think I'm 2 Chainz. People don't know 2 Chainz played Dominique. Played AAU with Dominique.
I was about to say, Dominique was in the AFL. What you talking about?
40, ain't he?
He's in the ABA.
2 Chainz is mid-40s.
Right, he got a home economics degree. They didn't have that in college.
Oh, Jesus. Economics? Home ec degree, bro.
Home ec degree.
How do you make a pie for your dissertation?
I took home ec in high school. I ain't gonna
high school, yeah, yeah.
I made a shirt, a whole outfit.
Listen, bro, my high school teacher ended up is Bobby Flay's mother. My high school home ec teacher.
Who's Bobby Flay?
He has a bunch of cooking shows.
Oh, wow.
A ton of them. If you know, yeah, I bet your wife probably knows who he is if she watched anything
knows.
Cooking show.
Yeah,
anybody listening knows who the hell Bobby Flay is. Us three don't. Only reason I know is because I went to his mom's class.
Oh, wow.
She
wow.
taught home ec, and she also put me on to why you don't watch Lifetime movies on Sundays.
Because it's now, always the ones they killing the husbands. And...
Nah, but I saw the saddest movie in my life in home ec.
Wow.
In home ec, it was a Lifetime movie. It was about this woman, and she was real, real down on her luck. This stuff just started happening to her real bad, and she had like a 3-year-old little girl. And it was, like I said, a bunch of just bad things started happening. She got put out of the house. They had to stay in a shelter. They had to stay. They were homeless. She was in another spot, and the rats was biting on the little girl and all that. Okay. Yo, and guess how the movie ends? You know, as a kid, every movie, you know, I'm a kid, a high school kid, but every movie ends good.
That little girl got ate up by the rat?
Bro, this lady took this little girl to the park and put her on the swing and left.
Wow.
And the credits started rolling.
Oh, wow.
I said, no. We had been watching this for a week, you know what I mean? Because it's a long movie, so we were watching it probably 30 minutes per class. So I'm building up to the end, like, all right, they about to get it. She about to meet a rich man.
Right.
And no, she goes to the park, kisses the little girl, pushes her on the swing, walks away, and starts crying.
Hey, Captain,
so obviously,
let's go to Piedmont Park this
Sunday. She's just left the girl to be found.
Wow.
Taken care of.
And Lifetime movies have caught me up plenty of times. I'll be flipping through channels, and it's always somebody from Facts of Life used to be on the phone. Joe or Blair or Blanche or whatever.
You feel emotionally
was.
Invested now.
I'm like, oh, that's the Facts of Life. I don't watch the hour and a half crying at the end. Like, man, this is a good ass movie.
Man, the ones on Sunday are terrible, man. Like you said, the ones about the killing the men and walking down in the mornings. Like my girl gets up at like fucking too early, 5:30, 6 in the morning. I'm a 10:30 at the earliest guy if I don't have nothing.
Hey, you preaching to the choir, brother.
And that's still, you just getting laying
and
up.
Yeah, you ain't even doing shit. You ain't really a person yet. You know what I mean? Yeah, you ain't worth nothing yet.
Right.
Like, man, I get down and, man, I don't know how many hours she's been watching Snapped, how I got away with it. I almost killed this nigga, but I'm about to. I'm like, this is worse than rap music. This is
good morning,
poison.
Dear. Would you like to step outside?
I don't even want to eat.
Right. How about some breakfast? Oatmeal.
She'd be like, I be trying to solve the case. I'm like, yo, the bitch did it. I know that from the jump because of the title says Snapped. Let you know what happened.
Yeah, that's what we got. We need to take a break, man. If anybody listening online want to call in and talk to Tyler, does Jamil or myself? The number is 607-203-5368, and we'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to the Keno Tri Show.
I don't know what to do and what you love. like a waterfall. We can fly to LA and go back to the A, cause I know that you really decisive. We get high this day, making trips to the bank, cause the life that we live in is priceless. Trying to get you a ring, cause I made you my main, and that tight as the vice grip. So come and get straight if you sit on my face, I'm a flipping the pipe. She knows she got a strip of booty. I like girls with strip of booty. She rocks, she rocks, she rolls, she give it to me. And every night's a different movie. Smelling like you make him run around in the bin and in the round with your baby like Nick D. Nigga, you was down with it, was crazy, baby. Get even if you round when I make it, I'ma keep you with me.
Yes, we are back. Who y'all was listening to is Jay Royal, my nephew out of Memphis, Tennessee. I'm going to play a few of his songs tonight. I told him I'll big him up.
Big him up.
Big him up. So
you from Memphis?
Huh?
You from Memphis?
No, I'm not from Memphis.
Oh, okay.
But
okay.
He is. He's a youngin'. He's a youngin'.
Gotcha.
So he was born there.
I'm a magazine.
Yeah, that song we just heard was Waterfall. You can find it on SoundCloud. Follow him on Instagram at Jay Royal or Jaquel. I don't know. We have to figure
that
out.
How come he don't ever call into the show after all this publicity you give him?
Because he's at work.
Oh,
you know, he ain't got a deal yet. He still got to work.
right.
Shout out
like
to,
us.
Shout out to the Falcons, man. I want to get
Falcons
shout out for 4-0.
You're a fan?
No, I just try to.
Who's your squad?
I don't have a squad. I just like good football. If you're gonna have a
I
good
don't
game.
Watch sports at all.
Gotcha.
But I think Matty Slush, when he gets to the playoffs, he's gonna show his true colors. So
he ripping it up right now, though.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, sure, you got the best receiver in the game.
I think their defense is the difference this year. Like, yeah. I think last year Julio was hurt, Roddy White's getting old. You know what I mean? They didn't, the running back situation with Steven Jackson was kind of off. I don't think they had a rhythm for sure, and they still put up decent numbers. So now I think they got a rhythm. The player, old players back, like I said, Julio's not hurt.
And they got that young dude running out the backfield.
They got two young dudes. Yeah. There's one dude that's hurt right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They got two young dudes running out the backfield, and Jameel doesn't care. You know what I mean? They're running the shit out the ball. He don't care about them getting concussions and dying slowly. He doesn't care. He doesn't give a shit about them kids dying slowly for our entertainment. I appreciate each and every one of those kids out there that are taking this head trauma, these car wrecks every 8 seconds to their body for my enjoyment. It is gladiatorism at its finest, and I know gladiatorism isn't a word. Don't
care. I stopped liking sports in the 90s, man.
What happened?
Jordan left. That was it.
Everyone
stopped watching sports when Jordan retired.
Sports.
The NBA was super shitty for years.
Yeah.
It just now started to turn
when
around.
Jordan left, you mean?
Yeah, it's just starting back to turn back around.
Yeah.
Like, there's actually really, really good players on every team in the NBA now. There was a time where there was dudes that had no business in the NBA playing in the NBA making millions of dollars.
Yeah.
And they were rec league at best. Yeah. At best. It was dudes that would go out there to foul you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't be that guy no more. You can't just be a fouling ass dude.
And getting $15 million a year.
You feel me? Yeah. You feel me? You can't be that guy. You have to be able to play basketball now to get in the game.
I actually recently got to hang out with Glenn Big Dog Robinson.
You okay.
Him?
Of course.
He was the reason that NBA start putting salary caps on
rookies.
He got
that $100 million.
Out of college. He had not played.
He was with the Milwaukee Bucks, right? When he
first
came
out. Yeah, he was with the Bucks. Did the Bucks draft? I think the Bucks drafted.
From Purdue.
Yeah. From Purdue,
that was the last year I was a fan.
Yeah. Okay.
Man, I'm rolling with this dude. We was riding in the Phantom. You know, I'm sitting in the back seat. You know, he drinking stuff, throwing it in the back. He treating it like it's a Honda Accord.
Was he driving it?
Yeah, he was driving it.
He's not supposed to drive the Phantom.
I mean,
he should have made you drive it.
Ah, hilarious. And sat in the back and rolled up the partition.
Hey, Keto, let's go to the store. You drive it.
I'm in the back catching trash. Like, dude, you know when we ride here? Like, he didn't give a damn. He got $100 million in the bank.
Right.
He didn't give a gave me his number. Like, man, we need to hang up. Man, I can't hang with you, dude. I'm a thousandaire, tens of thousands.
You're going to ruin my life.
Yeah.
No snorting cocaine.
But, hey, you know what? Tens of thousands is still okay, though.
Right.
You know
right.
what I mean? Don't let him make you feel indifferent, man. Right. Tens of thousands is going to get you by for a little bit.
Yeah. Just, it might get me in the club, but when they hit the VIP, I'm going to stay out here. I'm going to stay on the other side.
You're
going to
see Keno moonwalking like, damn, how did he learn that move?
Right. OTP in the club. I'm on the perimeter.
Yeah, I'm on the perimeter. You know, they become with, they put sparklers on bottles now. I'm done with clubbing.
They've been doing that.
Come on. Shout out to Rob Hayes. Came up with the most genius joke I've ever heard but a really good genius joke about that shit in the club. He said, I saw the bottles coming to a table and how everybody reacted and the sparklers, man, made people reacted. So I paid the waitress $10 to light 10 sparklers and just walk them to my because you can't see the bottles from a long way away. Come on now. That was genius. I want to do that in real life. I know Rob was lying, but I want to do that in real life. Just to see what people do.
Well, you know, they upcharge everything in the club. Them sparklers probably turn from, you know, $1 a piece to...
Right.
Yeah.
You get a box for like $2.
Right. Yeah. You know, what if you just bring your... Bring your own.
Right.
Just, how would you explain that when you got patted down?
Right.
You don't go to the club, you get patted down first. That's what you got
to
upgrade your life.
Black club,
upgrade your life is what I'm saying. You can go to a lounge and not get patted down. You can't go to a club.
And you know it's
but also if you don't go to a black club, the sparklers ain't gonna mean shit. No. So it's kind of a catch 22.
Like,
you're right.
What are they doing?
What's going over there? Is it fourth? I don't.
The first sign that you're at a black club is paying for parking.
Well, depending if you Buckhead though, they're white clubs. You will have to pay for parking downtown now.
Yeah. Downtown, but in the off beaten path, like I'm not paying $10 to park at Barnacle.
Right, bro. Hold on, it's a washerette right here too. You mean to tell me they're getting a percentage of this parking?
I will say, I was in New York, and what's the dude from? He plays for the Heat, kind of.
Chris Bosh, you're
Chris
hilarious.
Chris Bosh.
I know you don't watch sports, but you got to see that dude.
This is when he played for Toronto.
Right.
So he was at the club with his entourage, and this was a mixed club. Like, you saw everybody in there. Mm-hmm. And that's the first time I saw a bottle with sparklers on it.
Okay.
Like, they had two bottles. Like, they kept coming throughout the night.
Yeah.
Why do they have sparklers?
To let you know
all this weave in here, this is
you're
dangerous.
Not buying bottles like they are. That's let
it.
You know.
And to also let the ladies know where the money is.
Yeah, true.
That's the main thing.
Follow the sparklers. I always say dudes go to strip clubs for other dudes. It ain't even about the women.
They don't even be looking at the strippers.
Nah, they...
What?
Like, it'd be a stripper right here, like where Keno is. Say he's a stripper, me and you'll be talking. I'm throwing money like this. Yeah. I've seen that dudes talking to each other, you know, smoking with each other on the phone.
Like, you see all this? I'm making it rain, dog.
Do you see how I do?
Right. I'm going to tell you, when I go to strip clubs, I borrow people's lap dances. Like, say you sit there with a stripper, and I'm just like,
You didn't even have to explain that to me. That's why it was so funny, bro. Because you ain't the only one, Jack.
I start charging niggas. You get too close. Hey, owe me $5.
Nah, this with your eyes. You don't lean in.
You know.
I mean, you're doing it with your eyes while you're paying.
Yeah, true.
It's
true.
Like, you know what I mean, if I go to a drive-in movie and it's another good ass movie, and all I gotta do is turn the channel real quick to hear what they talk about.
Do it.
I'm gonna turn the channel real quick.
And man, I don't like strip clubs now. Them strippers are aggressive too. Like, you be like, I took my homeboy there for he was getting married or something. So I told the stripper, give him two dances,
and you gotta go.
$20. man, I look song after song, and she's still over there. And I'm like, well, maybe my boy was like, keep it going, whatever. Gotcha. Then she
came back
around
with
to
that
him
receipt.
Like, $50.
What?
He was like, whoa, I ain't pay for this. Like, I ain't even send you over here.
She never
looking
stopped.
At me like,
I
was like, hey,
to.
Yo, I told her two dances.
So then y'all got put out?
Nah, the bouncer came over there. I don't know. Somebody paid her. I didn't. I was like, two dances.
$20,
like,
I got you.
Yeah. When I was in California, we went to a strip club.
Why?
I sat down. And you would have thought this girl knew me. She's like, let's go. I don't know. You should like, come on, let's go. I can make you feel good.
Wow.
Ma'am.
Wow. It must have been a slow night. Hey, she's coming up with that's her.
Immediately I was, I didn't even want to go there, but my boys that I was with, they was like, let's go. And then one of the guys had never even been to a strip club, and he's like 28.
Okay. Do they get all the way naked in California?
He was a comedian?
They get all
Yeah, I think they do.
Yeah.
No, they wouldn't. He wouldn't come.
Oh, okay. He's 28, and that was his first time?
Yeah, that was.
He must have just never.
But he was one. From...
From Atlanta?
I got friends with him here in Atlanta.
What?
You go to strip club by accident here.
Yeah, I was about to say, but if you from here, like if you just grew up here, born and raised, I could see you not going to a strip club. You could get into a groove of what you like to do and just never be around
like
people. And never be around people that actually do it. And you can never, I could see that. I can see that. Or go away to college and never do it and come back and still like on some other shit.
I'm cheap. I don't like strip clubs. They got to be a special case.
But you know what, though? You say that, but you could, depending on how you rock it, like you could end up spending less in a strip club than you would in a club. And I'm only talking about because I know you drink.
Strip club
drinks usually cost way
expensive.
Less.
Yeah.
They're like going to be $7, $8 when you go to a regular real club, $14, $15, $11, depending on what you're drinking.
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of like the casino at the strip club. They want you drunk. So you can,
right.
you can spend.
But that's going to be on you.
And make bad decisions.
The money you spend is going to be on you. And also, the entry fee is usually steady. You know what I'm saying? The clubs out here, you get to a club at a certain time, you never know what you're going to have to pay as a man. You know what I'm saying? Strip club here, $10, probably $20 at the most. I mean, Magic City Monday is ridiculous, but they're just trying to keep the fire hazard in check. But they charge $80, which is ridiculous.
That's amateur night.
They charge $50. No, Monday is their big celebrity night.
Yeah, I'm going to go back to the 90s when I used to hang out in Atlanta.
Okay,
cool. The 90s, but there was a club called Club Kaya.
I heard of it.
That was on Peachtree.
Yeah.
And Kaya was so weird. You knew how cheap people were because Kaya would have a regular line, $10.
Oh, yeah.
But the VIP line would be $15.
$5 difference, yeah, but the regular line would be stupid long.
Stupid. People would like,
move.
I ain't paying $15. If $5 is going to make a break, you shouldn't even be here.
Yo, it was a club when I first moved out here called Esso's.
Yeah,
they did the same
Esso.
Situation.
Yeah.
I was like, it was the difference between actually 10 and 20.
10 and 20, yeah.
But still.
Yeah.
Like, it's freezing out here. You don't have $10 for your immune system.
But they say that $20 VIP line, but there's nothing VIP outside of you get to get in front of these.
Yeah,
people.
No, right. You get in the club faster. I'm saying that, and not only that, I don't even think you mentioned it, but they don't even move that line hardly. That $10 line, they make sure it stays long to make it look like it's a lot of people waiting.
And you can walk right in.
Yeah,
so
and it's like
extra hour of club.
Right. They might. You might. Your friend might get in 10 minutes before you get in. Y'all were standing right next to each other. They might just let in one person at a time. You'd be like, damn, I was with them. I'm like, wait a minute, hold on. Yeah. Like, damn, they texting you and shit. Where you at? I'm still waiting. Dog. Hold on.
It's
15 minutes later,
here.
You get in. I'm jumping. Oh God, I'm finally in here. I should have made the extra $5.
Hey, we ready to go, dog.
Right. I've been in here like, partying, man. What you doing? In line with you.
You ready to go eat?
No. Right. He ready to go to Waffle House and everything. He had not a bit of fun.
Now, this is a topic I wanted to bring up to you. And when I saw it today, I was like, oh, Tyler would love this one.
Nice.
Are you familiar with, I can't even think of the, Amber Rose.
I hate that topic, but go ahead.
Her slut walk. You hear about the slut walk.
I actually did a thing about it on when I do Bossip. I did something about that.
So what was the big deal about the slut walk? I didn't even really.
To be fair, I didn't do my research.
It was feminist.
As far as I could. But it was the new type of feminist movement in terms of not letting being free in who you are as a woman make how men look at you or how people in general look at you, not even just men, women and everything. Like, it's so like, all right, if I think it's basically the double standard type of situation. Like if men have sex with a bunch of women, they're looked at a certain way. But if women,
why do women think they can change that though?
They can't.
That'll never change.
Yeah,
why do they think Amber Rose can change that?
No, they don't think that. Amber Rose did it, but she's very popular and people are going to show up to that event. You know what I mean? So that's what she's using her stuff. But I mean, you never know. Like, her son is like 2 or 3 years old, and he was using words like frequency and fragrance. He was saying those words. So she's doing something right in her life with that child, and that's what I see, and that is good.
Yeah, she's teaching her kids good phonics, but all the other parents that
right.
are around their kids.
And it's crazy, soon after the slut walk, her baby father, Wiz Khalifa, hits her up, and he's like, and he's posting pictures of her talking about how much in love, and, you know, I think they're back together. So she told the sluts to be sluts, but I'm finna go back into my... Finna get back in my mold, ho.
Beyonce on them hoes.
Right. Let me get back comfortable. I didn't feel right out here. Sorry,
I
led you guys astray.
Y'all are disrespectful.
And really,
yourself.
It seemed like immediately after they broke up, I saw all kinds of vibes and twerk everything. Like
I was so appreciative.
She had to keep the money coming in.
I don't think it was about that. I think it was really trying to like show what he was. I don't know. Trying to show it was for him. It was for him. It was for him.
With other dude on her ass, too. Like, it's for you. It's for you, baby. Because her twerk videos, there was a dude behind her. Like,
sometimes you got to go, you know, the extra mile. And he wasn't responding. He's a young, rich dude.
Yeah.
He wasn't responding like how she probably thought he would. Yeah. You know what I mean? And
celebrity men make the worst decisions when it comes to their girlfriends.
The ones they actually be with ever since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
Obviously, Yoko Ono, shit like that. Like, you're right. You're absolutely
athlete,
right.
Athlete, entertainer.
And I think it's because you get in an unrealistic space in your life,
mm-hmm.
and then you end up getting with a unrealistic situation. You know what I'm saying?
Because for instance, Kanye and Kim Kardashian.
Right.
When Kanye, before he was Kanye, you can't tell me that he would have been like, I rock with something like that.
Kanye, before he was Kanye, was really involved with this young lady that was Delta with. Now, I remember he talked about it, her father in the song and the crash, like, I'm going to promise you, I'm going to marry her and all that. He mm-hmm. was in a different space. He was
until
a,
he became
he tried
Kanye.
College. And
then you saw that Ray J video. I got to add it.
Yo, when you start hanging with Jay-Z and you're stunting on a Jumbotron, you're in an unrealistic space.
Yeah,
and it's like, and then you get on TV and you're like, oh, I want that. You know what I mean? And then, like, get together and, you know, they start having sex or whatever. And then maybe it's something about her that makes dudes stay.
She got an extra hand.
No matter what they know about her, it's something about her and Amber Rose. Like, dudes are crazy about those two women. So it's not only just with their looks. It's something about them that they know how to make any type of a dude that can have any woman he want. They know how to keep them there.
Well, it's the build up though. You've been watching somebody on TV and be like, man, she's fine. If I ever got my opportunity. And then... The world they live in to come along with it.
But
like,
I understand, but I, that's for us. But those dudes are more of a prize. You know what I'm saying?
True.
In terms of their talent, what they do, what they have going on. So they I don't think they're looking at it like that because they can look at a million Amber Roses and be like, DM, come here.
And
it's going to happen 75% of the time.
Or maybe it's just all tired of broke women. I mean, there's a lot of broke women out here.
Well, I mean, when Kanye got with Amber, she wasn't all on. She wasn't rich. I didn't know about her.
Yeah,
well,
I didn't.
She used
either.
To date Jeezy. She was in one of his first videos.
Date or sex? Like, this is two different things. Like, when you showing up, he taking her to like Fashion Week and all that stuff. That's what puts her on the map. If you just have sex with an artist or whatever, that's you just one of them.
But
Amber Rose gets in a different space when he's kissing her on the red carpet, that. You know what I mean? They licking each other's face.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying, it's something about her that can keep somebody a person, people like that. You know what I mean? Even though they know how they get down.
Yeah, and they get down.
They may be goofy as hell or super real with them or just different than everybody else that's around. But, you know what I mean? Because to look at that tape.
Yeah, yeah.
And still marry her.
Yeah, yeah.
That, you know what I mean? Yeah. That takes a lot.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to
kill him and I'm going to marry her.
Huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
But that takes,
it
man.
It takes a strong man.
Whoo! Whoo! Because that can. Listen, you could be scrolling through porn as a man one night, and you could just see her face getting just on the screen cap. You ain't even gotta. You can see her face getting rammed down.
Yeah, true.
Like, and then what do you do?
Yeah,
you don't jack off after that.
Nah,
no.
You feel some kind of way at least for a few minutes.
Hey, bring your mama in the room.
Yeah.
Say your mama come here. No, that's hilarious. Tell your mom
mama, come here. And you know, there's some people just can't let stuff go, even though it happened before them. Like, yeah, I can't believe I married your ass. Look at you, still all over the internet. I can't even watch a Sally Jesse Raphael. I don't know.
Yeah, you old.
Sally Jesse ain't been on air since '91.
I read something.
Nigga, Magic was still playing.
Yeah, and he came out yet.
Oh, you read something with her in it?
Yeah, I just read something.
Oh, she was just in a movie not too long ago.
I saw that name somewhere. That's
okay, she was like doing a serious ass role in a movie I just watched not too long ago. I was like, hold on.
She had to be with my grandmother because she's old. The red glasses.
Say you didn't want to be. That's what it basically boils right, down to, ladies and gentlemen.
Sally was a pretty.
What?
Pretty
that was good, before you had the internet, boy. Yeah. We had to be creative. You had to wait on Caribbean Rhythm to come on or something.
Hit a nerve right there.
BET Uncut.
Wait, what? Oh, no, I'm talking about before Uncut. Oh, Uncut, you was a grown up, you could go and actually. Well, no, you weren't a grown up. You probably was having sex by the time Uncut came on, or you was about to be having sex.
He said Caribbean Rhythm.
But Caribbean Rhythm, you wasn't having sex.
Was that with Donnie Simpson?
That was with Rachel. Don't do that to me. Donnie Simpson was what the hell is Donnie
Simpson? Video Vibrations?
Video.
It was
or Video Soul.
Video Soul. Video Soul was Donnie Simpson. Yeah, wow. Yeah. You had to wait Donnie Simpson go off, then Rachel came on. She walked in the beach, and she can't really talk. And whatever. It was awesome.
Well, I'm going to give my age away. I used to have the biggest crush on Downtown Julie Brown.
Wow. No, we was all the same age. I didn't have a crush on her, but I remember her. You know what, man? That's when programming was programming, not to get off the sex subject.
Right.
But
no,
that
was it was programming. Right. It's still programming. It's just programming
the wrong way. Like BET had Team Summit.
Yeah.
Team Summit, Cousin Jeff.
That's when Bob Johnson.
What's the Gordon dude? That did those interviews. He did an interview with R. Kelly, but he did a bunch of different interviews.
Yeah,
I want to say Ed Gordon or something like that. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
He did a bunch.
Tavis Smiley
show was on there. It was just a lot of things. Even the basement and what was the? It was a couple other shows that were there were countdown shows, but like. The vibe was a lot more positive. Like the interviews, like Big Tigger interview people, and it was a cool vibe. And then they go in the booth and then freestyle, and that was cool, and everything was fun. But now it's all about beef and who got what.
They try to keep black men fighting.
From day one, slavery.
Yeah.
Since they got us over here, they have to keep us fighting. They got to keep us out of the house. They make sure that if a woman is on welfare, that a man isn't in the house, or you don't continue to get welfare.
Oh, yeah.
It's systematic. I used to hear people. When I was younger, people talking about the man. And then I used to hear other people talking, man, ain't no such thing. You know, you're putting it on yourself. Yeah. But
welcome
as I get older, I get older, and I was like, the man is a real thing. I know it ain't one person, but the man has been here. Like, even though people try to change it, it's been so ingrained that it's hard to get out of this. Like, I don't have kids or whatever, but I hope to. And I hope that they get to see the day to where everything is equal. Yeah. But looking at how shit has regressed, especially now, I don't see that, bro.
Mm.
I don't see that. That's sad.
Yeah,
that's sad.
You know, going back to you spoke about BET and those eras. Mm-hmm. And when I first met you, you may not remember. It was during the audition of not Who's Got Jokes.
Bounce TV.
Bounce TV.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about that experience.
Where was it though? Because I've done a couple of those.
Uptown?
Was it Uptown? Okay,
it was
boom,
Uptown.
Boom, boom, boom.
The first time. I think I've only showcased for it twice. One first time was at Uptown.
Uh-huh.
So Ruben and Marlon,
mm-hmm.
they were the second people there. I was the third person there. Got there at like 7:00.
Right.
Find out it's not gonna be taping until 9:00. Well, it actually didn't start till 10:00.
Right.
And Gary comes and rearranges the order because I was at the top 10.
Mm-hmm.
Throws me all the way down to like the last. I was like the second to last person.
Wow.
Now.
I think I was last.
No, you was before me.
Okay, I think there's another time at Uptown I was last. This is a different time.
And I know you was before me because this specific thing, so I never met you before.
Okay.
And I'm going through my set. I'm like, yeah, I'm about to have a killer set. I'm about to have a killer set.
Mm.
And I got this joke that's called Old School Player. You got a joke that's called Old School Player. So you got old school in it.
Wow.
And he destroyed it. I was like, I cannot do my joke now.
Oh, no.
You actually talked about an old school dude hollering at a chick, I think, singing a song. And then you went into Anita Baker.
Mm-hmm,
oh,
mm-hmm.
My gosh. My heart just dropped.
I do remember those.
Because you can sing.
I rarely do those jokes, and I'm glad you reminded me because I need to bring them back. But Word. Wow. Wow. Yeah.
And I told you after the show, after you got off, I said, man, you killed, like, and then I was crying on the inside. Because I was like, that was one of my clean jokes that I could do on television.
Hey, I'm laughing so hard because that's happened to me before, yeah. It wasn't a audition thing, but I was headlining, mm-hmm. and the dude, the feature before me, I don't even remember the kid's name, he was in North Carolina, he was killing, and one of his jokes was on the same level as my closer.
Mm.
Oh, man, it was the same. I still can't remember. I think I tried to put that out of my head that day. But that dude, whoever you are, bro, I don't know if you're listening, man, but hit us up, man, because you was funny. He was funny as hell, like 12 minutes of fucking fire. I'm like, who is this and how much longer does he have on stage?
Man, that's happened to me. I had a dude go before me and had such a variety of quick.
Oh, he covered everything.
Every topic
I hate niggas
that
like that.
I was going to talk about.
I hate
like,
you.
I like,
tell a story. Don't say everything.
He hit everything. And when I say everything from my daddy to the crackhead to thick women, everything I talk about, he
man,
hit it all.
You don't realize how mm-hmm. shitty I was. I mean, I was happy because you killed it, but my sugar level was low. I would sleep like I was a diva that night because just nothing was going right. And then you just started chipping away at my set. I was like, we only got 4 minutes, and he just took the best.
That's so crazy because I don't have, at that time especially, I didn't have nothing clean. I didn't have nothing for TV. You know what I'm saying? I was either cursing or it was vulgar. So I knew I could sing, so I did everything that involved with me acting like somebody or singing for that set, and that was all I had.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if they picked me, what the hell I was going to do. I was going
to
curse.
And when I went up and I tried to do, I was like, damn it, Tyler! And ever since then, like, I always remember, I'm like, man, that dude's funny. Then when you came through Jay Ward's spot, Jay Ward. What was that old joke about the old person?
I don't want to say his punch word, but
what?
It's
say
about
it.
Getting with Owen. Scoundrel.
Oh, you rascal.
You rascal.
Getting with them old men.
That wasn't the word. You rascal. You scoundrel.
You heathen.
Draft dodge.
Oh, that's
every time I hear that joke, I'm weak, just like I heard it for the first time.
That joke was saying, you draft dodge.
Man, I had said that like in front of some military people not too long ago, and you talking about loving that shit. That's the best part about this game, man. Is people feeling like it may be 100 or 2,000 people in the crowd. They'll come up to you and talk to you like you were just talking to them night.
Yeah,
and you made them feel so special. Yeah. And they do the same thing. They stub their toe the same way. They fuck hoes the same way. Like, it's so awesome, man. Like, I be trying to explain. Like, I did audition for Wildin' Out when it came here for the last season. And they asked me why I do comedy. And it was because I can't do cocaine. And what I meant by that, I was like, there's no other high you get from making people laugh, even if it's for 3 minutes. To make people cry laughing for 3 minutes, you can't get that. It made me feel like how I used to feel when I played basketball in high school and college, and it was the only comparable thing after I finished. Like, I just stopped having dreams probably like 2 or 3 years ago that my coach called me into the office and told me I had a year left to play. Mm-hmm. Like, that's how ingrained I was in basketball, how much I love it. And I had been looking for something to take that up. I've never tried cocaine, but I felt like that
was
trying
it yet until I get a,
you
I
got
get
a number
contract.
I got a cocaine number too. That's hilarious. You got one?
Hell no.
Oh, you don't got one? Oh, I thought you was bullshit.
I was speaking as I was you.
Oh, all right. My number is, it sounds crazy, but I feel like $20 million in my possession, all the way in my possession, could be my cocaine number. that I don't feel like I can mess up 20 million of my own dollars. Not have made 20 million and IRS it up. I'm talking about after I have that on my side. I don't think I can mess
up.
Have
you not heard of Lawrence Taylor?
Yeah, I have, but I feel like Lawrence Taylor got to a point in his life where he was no longer able to make money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That type of money. You know what I'm saying? Like Richard Pryor snorted dope so long because he was able to do it and still make that type of money. Yeah. It's the that whole thing is the money thing.
Because he can't play.
Yeah.
50.
Right. You know what I'm saying? So like you're living the most of as an athlete. Man, yeah. these dudes after they get finished, they go through a lot because you pretty much lived your whole life in 10 years.
You know what I mean?
You feel like the best of your life. You know what I mean? Our good times are good times.
Yeah.
But their good times are fucking insane.
Yeah.
Insane shit we have no idea about.
Can't even fathom.
And when it's over, that shit is over. And it could be over before you even know it. Like you fucking make a wrong turn
and your
Achilles is over and you too old to come back. Yeah. And now it's like, oh.
Yeah, I know a guy who can't let go of high school.
He rides
around with newspaper clippings from high school. No lie. I'm like, yo, we need to get him an intervention or something.
He like a dude from Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
I throw this football over them damn mountains. My coach would have just put me in JV.
Yeah.
Yo, it's so real, man. It's so real. It's so real. Did you play sports?
Yeah, I played.
Oh, okay. Why you don't watch them? Oh, damn, we never got to finish. That was interesting. Why did you stop watching after the 90s? You said because of Mike. You said no.
No. Sports to me is like wrestling. Once you realize it's fake, it's no longer interesting.
So dig this.
I'm not saying that the sport itself is fake, but it's heavily influenced by politics and the corporations.
It's not fun.
Right.
It's not for fun. Nobody out there is doing that shit for fun anymore.
And
so when you look at it,
the last time I was a true basketball fan was the years the Pacers went to the finals. I'm from Indianapolis, Indiana.
And we whooped that ass. I'm sorry.
But the Pacers had a full team.
Uh-huh.
Y'all just had three players.
We got four Hall of Famers. But go ahead.
Robert Horry
was on our team.
Robert Horry, Shaq, Kobe.
And, yeah, you're right.
You three people, and Horry was just like
an
accident, really. He was good.
He was an accident, a Hall of Famer. You're right. I get it.
He was good.
He wasn't the man on any team he's ever been on.
He was a
Understood. Understood.
Dude. But the Pacers had a bench and a starting lineup.
Brian Shaw, Rick Fox, Derek Fisher, they're not big household names, but those guys had been in the league and been through some battles. You know what I'm saying? So, like, we had a team, but name wise, they weren't a team. Like Shaq and Kobe overshadowed some people so much, you may have forgot that Glenn Rice played with us. You may have forgot Gary Payton played with us. You may have forgot Carmelo played with us. You may have forgot Nick Van Exel got pushed out of there and Eddie Jones for
Eddie
Kobe.
Jones,
you might have forgot that. Yeah. So, but I feel you though. Y'all were an overall team, but we were the better team.
We had
two good players, but
Indiana
our team
Pacers
was
had ten
we played
forwards,
defense.
10 forwards and 2 guards.
Yo, you're right. You're right. Only one person on the team could shoot the basketball. two people on the team could shoot the basketball.
Could shoot the
two people.
Down,
two people.
The center. Yeah.
Two people.
Yeah, Chris Mullin.
Oh, Chris Mullin was on that team.
Chris Mullin
was on his way out though.
He was a beast.
Yeah.
Right.
Reggie Miller, of course. Mark Jackson.
Y'all had bigger names.
Dale Davis,
all of them.
Shrimp.
Yeah, all of them were in prime, but in prime. Even Reggie Miller was in prime, in the end of his prime. You know what I'm saying? He was still in his prime, but he was at the end of it. Kobe was just hitting his groove.
Yeah.
Shaq was in the middle of his prime, dominating the shit out of everybody. He was just in his prime. So that was the difference. I think if we would have played them earlier, they probably would have beat us. The New York Knicks, Mark Jackson and the New York Killer Reggie Miller. I don't think we beat them.
Yeah.
And that old Dale Davis.
Well, see, and that's the thing too.
I don't think we beat. Yeah, I'm saying the old Dale Davis that didn't
Mark
give
Jackson
a damn that
put
would
that ass in you, boy.
That
you
would knock Shaq
to
knock Shaq the hell out. That Dale Davis was gone.
Yeah.
His fire was gone. He'd been in too many
and
battles.
That's the
by
thing. So, the Eastern Conference Finals was always Chicago, New York.
Right.
That's because the Indiana market was so small
they wouldn't
let Indiana get there.
We beat Sacramento because they didn't want it to be Sacramento and Portland.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You look at the Super Bowl when it was in Indianapolis. Indiana went through all this stuff to get a new stadium. We didn't need anything. It was in a recession. Couldn't find no job.
Right.
But they found
money. But
they
building a stadium while everybody ain't got no job.
Just to have 200 extra seats, or 20 extra seats.
Hell no.
So, all that money that was invested into that new stadium, there was no way in hell that the Colts were going to make it to the Super Bowl. So, ironically, Peyton Manning has neck surgery during offseason. Okay, let's say that was really real.
Ironically. Niggas always get surgery on their neck, ironically.
let's just say he really had a problem, and they really wanted to be in contention for the playoffs.
Right.
Why the hell would you go get a quarterback that hasn't played in 7 years? when you had Gerard from the Jacksonville Jaguars, who was a monster, they could have picked him up. We had the budget. But they threw that season on purpose because a large core piece of the Colts fan are in Indiana, are in Ohio, are in Illinois.
Right.
They have family. We have family. Nobody's going to pay. Indianapolis has the biggest JW Marriott hotel in the country. You know how much money they would have lost if people weren't coming to Indianapolis to watch that?
Yeah, so it's so much politics.
It's so much money. And yeah. I'm like, this ain't even good no more.
I get what
it's
you're saying.
It's not even fun to me no more.
I get what you're saying.
When LeBron left Cleveland, the value of the team went down like almost $200 million.
Oh, and when he came back, it went up almost like $400 million.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah,
like that.
Yeah. I'd be mad if I was him. Like, I need to get some of that. Yeah. Like, all I get is my contract. Mm-hmm. No, we got to work something out. You got to give me part ownership or something. I don't know if they could do that. But.
You're right. And we already know, like, especially the refs, you know, although they probably may have been pressured to do different things and make the outcome of the game a certain way, we already know that some of the dude that went to jail went on ahead and told on everybody.
Yeah,
it was like, they told they had a meeting.
Told?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'm forgetting his name right now,
but
he got caught gambling and doing all that stuff, so he just started telling everything. And he was talking about how the refs got together and was like, oh, we're not going to give Allen Iverson no calls because he was talking shit about one of the referees, and that was a real thing, and nobody could really deny it. Like, everything he might have been a scumbag, but everything he was saying was true.
I saw a documentary on that, and they was beating the hell out of Allen Iverson. He run through the...
Right. But they wasn't trying to call it now because he said something, or he just was acting like an ass. You know what I mean? So we know the refs definitely, in basketball especially. I think in football, it would be a little more blatant if you're trying to make calls, because you don't make as many calls in football as you do in basketball. But I think in basketball, it happens a whole lot more politics-wise than any other sport.
Now, I used to be a Buffalo Bills fan.
Okay.
They went to the Super Bowl, four times?
Yes, indeed. Yeah.
And lost four times.
Now, they had their hats handed to them when they played Dallas the last time.
Right. Dallas had Emmitt Smith and all. You weren't beating them.
But when they played New York. That call, Norwood never misses a kick like that. That was done on purpose. When they played the Washington Redskins.
Still alive? Because they was going to kill him. But anyway.
Is he still alive? No, he is.
He's probably the mayor somewhere.
He was on HBO Real Sports. He's doing sales, doing something. But he was talking about how he was having a real hard time in life after that. Yeah, bro.
Yeah.
Well, and you look at the Washington Redskins game that they played.
I can't even remember
it
that. Super Bowl.
Andre Reed, pass interference. He throws his helmet off, telling the ref.
Throws a flag for the
sportsmanlike conduct. And that switched the momentum.
Yeah, sure it did.
It don't take much to switch the momentum in football.
You're right. I will give you that. Yeah. So if you wasn't a Buffalo fan or Indianapolis fan, you wouldn't be able to rebut my what I'm saying. But since you're so entrenched, I got to give you that shit. You're right. You're 100% right. Don't watch sports ever again, my nigga. More for me.
we're gonna take a small break. So those listening online, if you want to call into the show, the number is 607-203-5368. Make sure you press 1 so we know you want to talk. We'll be back in a few minutes. You listen to the Keno Tri Show.
9 a.m. in the morning. It's 9 a.m. in the morning. It is. It's 9 a.m. in the morning.
Y'all know what it is. J. Royal.
What's
up, boo? What you up to? Is you missing me like I'm missing you? You on my mind, babe, I'm stuck on you. Did you get them roses that I sent for you? I'm down for you, and you know it, boo. Even though we argue, we still cool. You're my best friend, you're my better half. You're my heart and soul, shot it, do the math. Girl, it's me and you and nobody else. Can't do this thing all by myself. Without your love, it's bad for my health. And I don't need the money, cause your love is wealth. Cause you, babe, and I love you, girl. You're my heart, you're my soul, you're my whole world.
I love your lips and the way they taste. Girl, it's super glue when we face to face.
And girl, you know you can't be replaced. Cause you number one, you get first place. I love hugging you from your waist. You my sunshine on a rainy day. And truth is, you the truth, babe. And I put that on everything. You was meant for me and I was made for you. We a match made in heaven, boo.
Hey, I love everything.
And
wanna love you down and spend time alone. From the AM to the PM, I wanna talk to you on my iPhone. Whenever you need me, boo, you know that I'll be there for you. Cause, babe, I got mad love for you. Yes, I truly care for you, right? And yeah, we so official, babe. I don't second guess about you and I. Cause you know you my type of girl, and I know I'm your type of guy. You love something I can't deny. I love it when you close to me. Kiss me for the one time, and I swear you made my knees weak, right? And I ain't tryna play no games. What we have is real, so I'ma treat you right. Hold you down with tight hugs, and kiss you right with lip bites. And even when I'm on the gram, I post pics of us every single day. You're not my WCW, you're my woman. And crush every single day.
Hey, hey. I love everything you do. Ain't no one do me. And you are the love that I feel for you. It's true. When I wake up from my dream,
my dream.
You're the one I feel. Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
Hey, you.
I wanna hold you close to me. I just gotta let you know that, baby, you were meant for me. And I wanna be your everything, cause the love that I feel for you is true. And shawty, you my everything.
Now you got someone and they treating you right. Say yeah,
hey. That if you got someone and they treating you right. Say yeah.
From my dreams, you're the one I see, and I am, and I am, and I am. Shawty, you was meant for me, waking up to me at night.
You know you're special.
Oh, this is.
We are back. We are back. We were talking.
Automatic lunch.
We were talking about open mics during the break. And we might as well mention Tyler is the house MC, the man, the resident, I don't know what they call him these days, but
the man right chill.
I'm the host of the show, man.
The host of Cloud Nine.
That's what they call it these days.
Every Monday, I don't know. I just try to make it sound grand.
You did though.
He's trying to pull a
He's
Steve
the
Harvey.
Pope of Cloud Nine. The ordained of I don't know.
All that sounds great. Just to let you know. It's wrong. It's the host of the show.
Yeah, it's a great show, man. Every Monday, if you're in Atlanta, every Monday. If you don't see no good comedy from anybody else, Tyler does his thing with the host. And I've seen it off the cuff, off the top.
That's how you got to do it, man. That's how you got to do it. I feel, first of all, it's 177 Peter Street, Cloud 9. We start about the time you get there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so we got, great food, great fun, great jokes. We have the best comedians in the city always come through. But I just was going to say, I really feel blessed in this game to have a place or have somebody that wants me to come and host, because I know how hard it is to work on your shit 5 minutes at a time every night. You know what I mean? So I appreciate every minute I get to host and go off the cuff and come up with new stuff, talk to people, and feel comfortable doing that crowd work. So, I mean, that's one thing I do suggest to any comedians, because y'all know comedians come up to y'all and ask y'all about advice about different things. I was like, man, not even getting your own room, but if you can host a situation, you know what I mean? Like have people in a spot that you know or whatever and just talk to them. Right. And with a microphone, you know what I'm saying? Just get comfortable in that way. That shit helps tremendously.
Now, one of the problems I ran into when I hosted a room, I got so used to hosting that it was hard when somebody said, hey, I want you to come close out a room. It's hard to get out of that mind frame.
Mm-hmm. So what y'all want to talk about?
Come on. Come on.
So, yeah.
That's so real.
Yeah, it is.
It's so real.
And I see it. I mean, you know, I see comics that I know host a lot. Then, you know, when they get the headline gig, it's kind of a different vibe. And you can see that it's not comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
I can't say that I've seen you do a lot because I always see you hosting. Mm-hmm. But I've seen comics that are great hosts, host all the time. But when they got to do that 20, 30 minute set, it's uncomfortable. Saying they ain't funny.
It don't look the same as when they've been hosting.
Right.
Yeah.
That's probably because the host just is doing his room.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying it's just a different dynamic. It's a different dynamic that eventually you got to master them all.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hosting all the time, when you get that time to do a long set, it might be awkward.
Yeah,
and I've seen people like, well, shit, I seen him murder as a host, but I think I want to leave right now.
right.
The set is over.
Mm-hmm. You can get in that mode where you just do hosting and you get into that And I know exactly what you're talking about. I know exactly what you're talking about. I feel like I still be in that mode sometimes. Like sometimes it works out good for me, sometimes it don't. Like I'll get into a point and I'll tell a few jokes and it be going good or whatever, and I'll see something in the crowd that normally as a host I'll go ahead and into, but as a headliner, you may not want to do that. You may want to keep your rhythm. Right. And I'm trying to get better at not breaking my rhythm unnecessarily.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because, you know, as a headliner, that rhythm is everything just because you're up there so long and they get used to you. So, but I try to use it and hopefully it enhances your set. You know what I mean? Your crowd work or not even just actually talking to someone, but acting like you're talking to someone or doing an ad lib that seems off the cuff, but it's something that you've said 100 times in regular conversation to your people, your friends, or you may have said it at a show before. It just seems off the cuff.
And then having the hosting experience, it does help because sometimes when you are doing a longer set, it ain't going well. So sometimes they don't even want to hear jokes.
Right.
You got to be like, what y'all want to talk about?
People want to talk to you and interrupt you and they want to interact.
They want to feel like they're talking to their crazy uncle.
So that's when the hosting skills kick in. Like, boom, oh, I got you. That's what we doing. Okay, let's roll with that.
I got a question for y'all. What was the thing when y'all first started? How long you been doing comedy?
5 years.
Damn, me too.
11.
What was the first thing that, six. What was the first thing, no, not the first thing. What was the thing you wish coming into the game that somebody would have told you that you pretty much just had to find out on your own and maybe the hard way? If there's something you need to say.
Don't do new jokes ever when you get on stage with the big dogs.
Okay.
I got on stage, J. Anthony Brown. If anybody knows how J. Anthony Brown does, if there's comics in the room, he's going to put you on the show. He hosts his own show. Like, hey, you're a comic, I'll put you up. And I got up there. And J. Anthony Brown has a very specific crowd. So
right.
You got to be tight or, you know, I got up there, did some new jokes. They wasn't tested.
Mm-hmm.
All of a sudden, I heard,
Oh, no.
But I've always been that one that say, hey, if it ain't going with, hey, my name's Keno Trice. Thanks for this, and I'm going to get up out of here.
Right.
You ain't going to remember this.
Yeah.
But that was a hard one I learned.
Yeah, you got guts, first of all, for even being in that situation and still going with your new jokes. I'll give you that.
One of the things that, I don't know if you remember Keevy Rogers.
The name sounds familiar.
Keevy Rogers, he was on Comic View. I think he did Def Jam, but he was
if I see his face,
he was
I'm
like
sure.
a sitcom dude. Like he was on ABC. Like he did everything. He did both sides. I opened up at Crackers Comedy Club, and I was like, I thought I did real good. I said, hey, what you think, man? What you think? He said, he did all right. And I said, you got any advice for me? He said, just keep doing it.
Boom.
Now.
That's exactly what I say to young comics.
That was the best advice that he could have gave me.
Mm-hmm.
But going to what you said, what do I wish somebody would have said was read.
Wow. That's huge.
Keep doing it and read.
That's huge.
Other than that,
that's huge.
Everything else you just find it on
Let
your
me
own.
Tell you something. That's the main reason Chris Rock is as funny as he is.
Yeah.
Because he reads. Like, I don't think that I could hang around Chris Rock and feel like he'll be a funny guy Right. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like if you hang around Mike Epps, you'll probably just be dying laughing all the time because he's silly. He owns funny. I feel like now if you're sitting around while he's writing jokes, you're going to be laughing. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Just because of his intellect on every single thing. And that
he's a high school dropout.
That shit, and I know, but he's hungry for knowledge.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? School ain't for everybody.
True.
So, but knowledge is.
Yeah.
And that's the in terms of reading for a comedian, because, you know, we get our shit from watching TV.
Yeah.
Which I don't
Oh, you don't watch TV? Okay, that's good. I'm about to say,
yeah.
You know, but even watching old comics coming up, I was watching TV the other day, and I was watching TV, and I saw on television the other day. Like, that is the premise for 70% of a lot of people's jokes.
Right.
But reading not only helps you with shit like that, but it helps you come up with words.
New words.
Stupid as that sounds, when I get off my reading, like I get on reading kicks, when I get off my reading kicks, I feel like it's sometimes where I have a hard time finding the word I want to say. But when I'm on my reading kick, I never have a problem with anything I want to say.
Right.
Like, I get it all the way. I'm like, but when I'm not reading, I'm like, damn, what's the word I'm looking for? Yeah. I never do that when I'm reading. And it's just like anything else, you're training that brain. That is,
you know what? Reading cures writer's block.
Okay.
So I've went a long time with writer's block, and the doctor said, dude, you haven't been reading. So I just started reading, like, last week. Mm-hmm. And I swear I got, like, these many premises. Now, how many going to work?
It don't matter, but you unlocked your brain, though.
Yeah.
You feel like they can.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you got writer's block, you feel like none of that shit is going to work.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And sometimes you just don't have to write it. It's that off-the-cuff stuff you do at a show and be like, you know what? That's a bit. That's a bit. They laughed. It came off the top.
Right.
It's been sitting in the back of my brain just because I've entered something new into my mind.
I'm glad I came here. I was preaching today. Y'all are preaching today. That is big in terms of the what do you read? What just anything or what types of stuff?
No, not anything. I read a lot of Pan-African material, African civilization material, some self-help, and a lot of comedy books.
Okay.
So I got a.
That's why I need to add some comedy books. All right, so I got a question about that. How long we got?
Oh, we got 40 minutes.
Okay, cool. I got a question about that. How do y'all? Do y'all watch comedy? I know you don't watch TV. Do you watch other than going to the shows and shit?
Other than going to the shows.
You don't watch anybody stand up, do you?
I do every now and then. I'll flip through Netflix and see somebody interesting. Most of the stuff on Netflix is garbage.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do from time to time.
Is there a reason why you don't?
No, there's no reason I don't.
It just happens. Yeah.
The
reason why you don't
is because when I first started, I overloaded myself on Richard Pryor and Bill Cosby.
Mm.
And as soon as I get on stage, have you ever?
So that's the reason. I love stand up. Yeah. You know what I mean? But I try not to watch too much of it because you can get into that.
Yeah.
And I'm so off the cuff, I might end up being – I'm scared I might end up being not myself.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Or try to do – like you say, something be in the back of your mind. You done watched it so many damn times.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So that's why I don't watch it. I just wanted to know how y'all felt about that.
In this life, we all are unique in our own separate ways, but we all kind of share in similar experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance – you got the joke and I got a joke that's similar.
Right.
We didn't know each other at the time. Never heard, but we had something that was
a similar experience in our life.
So, me, I don't ever want, because like I hate seeing a hack comic.
Yeah.
I hate that.
Mm-hmm.
And most times you see a hack comic, they're a hack on purpose.
Yeah.
You do have those that we just have similar experience with dating and all. We had some. So we're going to have some similar premises,
right?
But we're going to have some different spinoffs to it. So my thing is, I want to be as Jameel as possible.
Yeah.
So I've been going through a phase where, like, I've developed my feature set, and maybe a good portion of it's, like, stuff that I don't even necessarily into no more.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of, when I'm on stage doing it and people are laughing, I'm like, yeah, it's not really as gratifying as when I first came up with them. Or when I'm first developing this new stuff that I'm really about right now, Jameel.
Got you.
And so now...
That's a struggle.
I'm trying to be as genuine as I... Now, where I'm at now, I'm going to offend a lot of people.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's not on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, you know, when you are absorbing information and knowledge and things that weren't really given to you appropriately or accurately coming up, you have to break down that and retrain yourself. It's a lot of people that don't necessarily follow that same...
Right.
You know, scenario. So you're going to step on some toes on accident. So now, like when I look at Bill Burr or George Carlin, even some of Richard Pryor stuff, you just have to, I just have to bring it in a unique way to where I'm not angry when I'm saying it per se. But I'm twisting and making it funny because I did this. I got this joke about ratchet music and how much I hate it.
Right.
The first time I did it on stage, I was actually angry. The people couldn't tell they was laughing.
Right.
But I was angry. With every laugh, I was like, you motherfuckers is laughing. But I had to realize that I gotta take that away or channel that energy into somewhere else. And that would actually, like, I was talking to Kino. Kino helped me out with a tag on it.
Yeah, I was like, hey, bro, you got to bring that one down, bro.
Oh, yeah. It was too angry.
Had to fight up out of here.
But when I did it, that one day, people was laughing.
So I would say some people like that angry shit because they may feel the same way. Yeah. And, you know, that's a natural reaction is anger.
Yeah.
About something you don't like.
I just said you got to put it in a package that is safe for everybody. Like, they can feel your anger, but at the same time, you know, like,
which I'm not concerned with.
Is it going to be okay?
I'm not concerned with, and I told you, that appealing or appeasing to everybody. But I do know that I could have, the way you helped me with that sentence, that did help switch the direction.
Right.
But I don't give a shit, really.
Right. But we're in an awkward position in terms of where our careers are at now, because we want to have the type of audience that we want and we feel we deserve, but we got to gain that audience.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We're still gaining that audience and we may be doing stuff.
The people got to want to give
us an opportunity. Tell him. That's what I was telling him. I was like, you got to gain the audience.
Yeah.
Then you can narrow down from
you
there.
You can bring them in.
You know he's going to be in the specific group of people that's going to do comedy.
Right.
But right now, you got to broaden it, then you narrow it.
Like I was watching something, you know, about Corey Holcomb, and if y'all know his comedy, you know, it's extra blue and it's you know, it's abortion jokes.
Don't ever go to his show if your girlfriend
sensitive.
Aren't really on a good term.
Right. Or if y'all having an argument or anything, don't ever
I broke up.
Don't ever do that. But I was bringing him up to say he was talking, you know, he was semi established, you know what I mean? He was, you know, getting booked gigs and all that going all across the country. But he wasn't doing stuff like that. Then he had a situation, an argument or something with his old lady and went on stage and threw his set out and started doing that. You know what I mean? Like being real vulgar and like, fuck these hoes and my baby mama and shit, all that. And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
And it was working. And he was like, hell, I feel like, well, first of all, this is me. I haven't been, this is who I am.
Yeah.
I just didn't think that I was supposed to get, y'all was going to like me as me.
Right.
And, but I'm saying that to say he gained that crowd to be there first. You know what I mean? They're like, okay, this is still Corey. Yeah. Oh, shit, this is a different Corey. Oh, this is how he really feels. I'm still going to rock with him. Now, I'm rocking with him. I got people rocking with me. Now, if you're going to come on board, this is how I am. Now come on board. But I don't think anybody that's militant starts off militant. Like, you know, Malcolm X was out there shooting dope fucking hoes, eating pork.
That's until he got some information. Then he was like, fuck all you.
Exactly. But he needed to gain an audience. I mean, this is obviously a different way that he gained
an
audience. He still had to gain an audience a certain way.
You got to get people to feel comfortable with you first. Once they feel comfortable with you first, just like we got that drunk uncle, you can't take it around nobody.
Right.
You know, but he's still cool.
Right. He may say something fucked up and people just going to be like, all right.
Yeah, but you know that other side of him because you feel comfortable with him already.
He's great with kids.
Even though you're going to say some fucked up shit. And I think that's the same thing with comedy. You got people make people feel comfortable with you first.
Mm-hmm.
Then you can say anything.
And that's one thing I was playing to you. I got 30 minutes of comfortable shit.
Yeah.
That's what you need,
so,
though.
Y'all gonna
don't,
do that.
I'm just trying to say don't abandon it all.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, don't abandon it all. Just, you know, because people are fickle. And I wish we could say everything we wanted to say at every moment, but we're dealing with people.
Yeah. We're
customer service right
you
now.
Can't do nothing. I had to throw all my homosexual jokes out, everything.
Bruh, what's going on with that?
Yeah.
What happened to that? Like, my whole thing, like my girl's on a show, Candy Coated Nights with Candy Burris, and they had a transgender on the show.
Mm-hmm.
And my girl, she's funny as hell. She doesn't do stand-up, but she's funny as hell, and she's comedic. And she was just messing with the girl, talking about, oh, yeah, you got balls on the couch and all that shit. But the transgender people came at her so crazy. And then on top of that, they posted another picture. It's her, there's a DJ dude, and then there's Candy Burris that's on the show. Yeah. And they ended up taking their faces and putting them on other people. Like, they had my girl on a dude's face, looked like Drake, and then Candy's face on another dude's face. I forgot what it looked like. And then the dude's face on a chick. No. The promotion team who was putting out the videos and stuff for Candy Coated Nights for the show that she's on, they did that. Mm-hmm. And when that picture came out, Candy had to take it down because all the transgender people felt some sort of way about a picture. But so my whole thing is, all right, you do all this, you know, fighting and scrapping and doing all this to be included, but that means you get included on being talked about.
Right.
Like my set, I feel like when I'm talking about people, I talk about everybody. I don't give a damn if you don't have a hand. It's fucked up.
Yeah.
But I feel like you're better at getting donuts than I am. You know what I'm saying?
Fucked up. Everybody can get it. As a child coming up in a black neighborhood, that is the one thing you learn when you leave your house. Anybody can get these jokes.
Yeah,
I don't give a damn what you got on. I'm gonna find something about it. Anybody get these jokes? Your ears, how skinny you are, your teeth messed up. Anybody can get these jokes, and it's okay.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we gonna hoop.
Yeah.
It's gonna be all right. Yeah. You might act like a little gay kid, but you still hanging around us with your little gay ass.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We still cool.
Yeah.
But you gonna get talked about
like
everybody else, and I don't understand why they are so adamant about it's every little thing. They don't let nothing go. And I don't understand it.
They will take two words out of an hour-long interview you did
right
to focus on them two words
and talk about they oppressed.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, you got pressed all right.
Let me stop already.
Oh yeah, that anybody can get it is real.
Bro, I have a marvelous gay joke that I threw out probably a little over 8 months ago. I stopped doing it. I done it in a place, and although people were laughing, I saw the uncomfortability in some people's face, and I didn't present it in a good way. I know. I didn't want to. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to be straight in your fucking face, like, hey, I'm talking about shit about you too. All right. Now I'm about to talk shit about white people. Now I'm about to talk shit about black people. Now I'm about to talk shit about Mexicans. Like, you're just in a row of people I'm talking shit about. But I'm with you. You feel like you just can't.
Yeah. Yeah, my gay stuff was good. I'm starting to slowly introduce parts of it back and see what people
are. Yeah, but you gotta do it, if that ain't how you present it, man.
True.
Like, they're changing our art form. It's like I'm a painter in the middle of painting some shit, and then somebody walks behind me is like, put a nose on the belly.
All right, I'm gonna put a nose on the belly. Yeah,
make
like,
you happy,
yeah.
Not gonna make me happy, and I'm the artist.
Come on.
Hey, it might go back to what you said, when Obama's gone, everything might get
back. Man, I hope so.
No, because what happens is, because he's pushing homosexuality so hard,
man,
he's shown them that they have power. And
he's being, but that's part of him being what they got going right now. Their strength. He's just like us right now. I think he is forced to accept that. He ain't telling his daughters that shit is right. I guarantee you that.
Man, this dude,
I guarantee you that.
This
shit.
Dude was over in Africa.
It was
right when Sandra Bland got killed.
Right.
He's in Africa trying to tell them about their homosexual policy.
Yeah, yeah.
Dude, she's dead.
Yeah.
They have a president.
Yeah. Right. I missed that
Dude,
that
I was
sequence.
In the gym. I was like,
I remember those two situations, but I missed that sequence being that close. Wow. I don't even have anything for that.
Heavy over there.
What? Right. They don't mess around. Yeah,
they have a president. They have their laws already. That ain't none of our business.
Right. First of all, ain't none of their business any of our business. First of all, but going back with that though. Excuse me. I do watch a lot of TV, and you make me feel bad because you don't. But a lot of the stuff that I watch, I watch a lot of historical pieces. More like, you know, I watch a lot of war movies. That's where I get a lot of the war shit from, and a lot of period pieces. You know what I'm saying? Just back in the days, even Roman times, Greek, old Irish shit. And every show, there's a gay person or gay something in those things. If you watch anything that's real about Africa,
yeah,
there's never been none of that. So that's why they still don't tolerate it, because it never was an underlying thing.
You
like, if you suck, I think there's obviously gay Africans, but they sucked that shit up and died without anybody knowing.
You know, pedophilia was part of the Roman culture.
Yeah. Bring me a boy.
Greek culture, was gay.
Oh, bring me a boy is a popular phrase.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I hate this. Yeah, Bring Me a Boy back in those times. Bring
There's a
Me a Boy.
Documentary now that I think
Baby,
has
what
that
you
same name.
Dinner?
It has the same name. It's going on today.
Bring Me a Boy.
Yeah, it's going on today.
Are you for real?
No, I'm being serious.
No
I
shit.
A documentary about
called
it.
Bring
well,
Me a Boy.
I didn't watch it, but I saw the beginning.
About
like,
yeah.
Cool.
Don't feel
yeah.
bad for watching. Yeah. You should watch.
No. I'm a documentary hit. Like if I saw a documentary about pedophiles and why they do what they do, I watch it.
Yeah,
for sure.
I think it's called Bring Me a Boy.
Bring Me a Boy. Yeah, that's a popular.
That is coming. Back
crazy,
now.
Right?
And I think it's with the Arab, with the rich Arabs now that they're doing Arabs and Indians. Yeah.
But see, but you know, with the Arabs, they have kind of like African. I mean, obviously they are African, but they have kind of the same values with that too. They are very low tolerance for homosexuality.
Very low tolerance. Man, I saw something on the internet. This dude was racing and his car wrecked and he killed somebody. They took him right out of his car, took him behind a building and beheaded him. They
killed
still
him.
Doing it
immediately.
Where was it at?
Over in United Arab, whatever they call it.
United Emirates.
United Emirates, Arab
Man,
Emirates.
Don't you know if America was anything like other countries, Al Sharpton would be dead?
Oh. Let me tell you something about Al Sharpton. You already know why Al Sharpton's still alive.
Because he worked with them boys.
Come on, man. Yeah. Every civil rights leader that was real is dead.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, you can't lead a civil rights and not die. Come on. That's your thing. You get killed. That's what you do. That's how you retire. Everybody knows that going into it. I may die today, I may die tomorrow, but I'm going to die doing this. Al Sharpton is alive, not doing that anymore.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That is something to think about.
Come on. And there was another preacher that was up there talking about he was on the balcony with Dr. King. He moved over so he could get a clear shot. I'm in a clear view. Yeah. What?
Dick Gregory posted.
Yeah, I reposted it on my Facebook because those people really exist, and you already know, Al Sharpton been working with the feds, that came out, and he had to admit it, and
Man,
that's why
he's
still around.
I was somewhere, and it's crazy because the internet is the best and the worst thing to happen to civilization.
Amen.
Happen to black people. Let's start with black
people.
For sure.
Fuck regular civilization.
Well, one reason why it's the best thing and best thing for black people is there's so much information that has been hidden from us that we can reach out to on our 500.
That and getting news on the ground.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, shit, when Ferguson happened, if you was on Twitter, you seen shit
that was really
going down.
That was happening in real time. Too,
right,
like.
Right. Way better than waiting for CNN to tell you what they want to tell you. Yeah. But I'm sorry. Go ahead.
But the information, I forgot what I was saying. What was I saying?
You were just saying the best thing for civilization, getting
the internet
fast. Internet. And boy, that Alzheimer done kicked. After 9, I ain't no good.
You were saying the best and worst thing to happen in civilization
was
the internet. And
oh, because you said about the leaders being killed. So, you start to find out this stuff about these people. And because I was supposed to go to the Million Man March this week.
Okay.
I'm not going.
Yeah.
I don't trust.
What?
I've
what?
Never trusted Farrakhan. And I still don't. I just wanted to go to be around that experience. But then I got to thinking, I was like, I don't trust this dude. Why would I go?
It's hard to trust anybody that has that much power just to be
or that
real.
Had anything to do with Malcolm X, one of the prolific leaders being murdered.
Right.
He was.
I think he was acting under orders though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
But still, you know,
he did it. Yeah.
He did it. Yeah. He even if he didn't pull the trigger, he had
he was powerful enough in the organization to have it done.
And so with the information that's out there that's so readily. You learn so much, and in learning, that creates a total different dynamic in which you were.
Yeah, a different mind state. I saw Waka Flocka on Breakfast Club.
This is going to be interesting.
Yeah, Waka Flocka on Breakfast. I look at that dude totally different now.
He's an educated guy. He's a knowledgeable guy.
I met Waka Flocka.
Did you see it?
I saw a little piece of it, and I was like, first of all, you're not qualified. To say that, even though some of the stuff
he came from, where we trying to get away from.
Because this dude,
all that ass. Well, I don't think you could judge somebody by their art. That ain't fair. That would be like somebody judging everything we do by how we are as a person by what we say on stage. If I let somebody do that for me, I'm over with. They're gonna think
I'm
a horrible person.
Here's the thing. I'm all about having a good time and all this stuff, but when you think of I grew up in the 80s, so when you think of hip-hop, you see how much power hip-hop had.
Right.
And even though a lot of people are in hip-hop now just collecting a check, they're still responsible.
right.
for the babies that are going astray. Even though the parents are responsible, everybody's responsible.
Well, watch the whole thing, man. He talks yeah. about all that. He talks about saying. Money, what he's doing.
And it goes
money.
Back to what we were talking about in terms of you got to gain your audience. Yeah. All right, when he came on, he couldn't. You can't. What positive rap wasn't the shit. That's why Common had to start acting.
Right.
Positive rap wasn't
Which
the shit.
Which you always reminded me of Common.
Stop. All right. And you remind me of Derek Fisher.
Fish. But no, seriously, when I first got, when you
everybody
got
say that, I get that twice a day. And it's crazy because you usually like to try to like be like, nah, man. But yo, it was crazy. This girl I was on Boston TV with was with somewhere at an event, and Kama was next to her, and they took a picture, and he had on a gray shirt, you know what I'm saying? And later on, she took a picture with me. I had on a gray shirt. We were doing the same type of pose. I was like, oh, okay, I see what y'all talking about.
Yeah.
I finally see it. I'm sorry to anybody that I cursed out before.
I'm like, oh, goddamn, yeah. Kama.
But I'm saying, Waka had to get his audience. Now he's doing like EDM rap and over there poisoning the white kids.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Poisoning the white kids.
Yeah. It is what it is, but it seems like he's like, all right, let me not do this to my community. Like, I don't have problem if you selling hair around in the suburbs.
Right. Yeah.
That is. Y'all don't seem like y'all do either, so. You know what I mean? Let them handle it. That's how they did us. Like, let them handle it. It's their problem. Crack is their problem.
Right.
Let them handle it.
Well, we're running out of time, man. So
no, we're not.
Yeah, I want to end the show, man. Tell us about the projects you got going on, where people can see you, what you think you're going to be doing soon. What you know you're going to be doing soon, all that stuff. So,
right on. I am currently, you can check me out every Monday and Wednesday doing some shit that we just talked about we shouldn't be doing on Bossup.com, being real gossipy. And I try to steer it away from the gossip and just try to be funny about whatever is current at the time. But when you're talking about people, it's gossip. Yeah, I can't help it. I hate to say it. I'm a fucking gossip blog guy.
No, I've seen it. It's good. It's good.
Thank you, man. They paying, and I feel like a fucking. You know what I mean?
A tool for the man.
It's a good look, and they paying, but it's like, man, I used to talk shit about Boss Up and Media Takeout and all that, and how they were, but it's they're being really cool now. They actually came to me with an idea. And I was showing them the Daily Show, you know, when Jon Stewart was on there and with Trevor Noah.
Right.
And I want to kind of get into more shit like that in terms of politics. And I want to have a section about laws you should know, you know, more shit about black people.
That's what I was about to say. You in there now, maybe you can bring the change or influence.
But I had to come in there talking about Young Thug and who Amber Rose is having sex with this week. And I had to do that. So I guess I'm gaining my audience, and hopefully I can turn it around. But still check it out, man. It's still good. Good fun, you know what I mean? Take it for what it's worth. You go on YouTube to catch all the old ones. Just put in the Bossup Report, catch every single one I've done, or just go on their site every Monday and Wednesday, and I will be up on there or on my social media, Tyler Chronicles. Check it out on there. I am on the road, just like any other comedian, man, and thankfully I'll be I'm hosting a rap concert.
Really?
I feel so bad every time I say something about it. I'm hosting a rap concert with in Winston-Salem the end of the month. They're having their homecoming. And it's some real ratchet people in there. But K-Camp actually is a really good artist. I don't know if y'all mess with him, but
ain't shit that cut a bitch, y'all.
Right. That's his old joint. But, like, listen to his songs. Like, he can sing. He's put well together. And he actually has songs where he's talking about stuff.
I was going to say, he got some conscience.
Yeah. He's only, like, 22, 23 years old. Okay, so he's I really like that guy. He got a new song, like a love song. And it's really cool. The women like it. So he's going to be on a concert. And then to keep it all the way ratchet, the Migos
are
going to be it. Come on. I'm about to. What?
I used to host a rap talent show once a month. And I stopped doing it because I was in fear for my life.
Where, here?
Yeah, here. One night, a dude told he didn't win, and he got off stage and said he'll kill everybody in here, that he was from Bowen Homes.
Time to go.
And then I was on stage, and I said, well, kill everybody outside, man. We don't feel like cleaning up. And I was like, hey, can somebody walk me to the car? I actually used to take my gun to this show, for real.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Where were you?
It was in Gwinnett.
Wow.
In Gwinnett. This when I first started comedy. This chick saw me and was like, yo, I got this talk show. I'd like you to host it. And it was fun and dangerous at the same time. So.
Yeah. I've hosted a couple I haven't hosted any talent shows. That's what makes it different if people are trying to win money.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what makes it different. I hosted showcases. It's a little less ratchet.
Yeah.
So. But yeah, I'll be doing that, man. Be headlining down in Charlotte. At the Charlotte Frat House, man, they've been doing comedy there for 14 years straight, the last Friday of every month. I'll be doing that October 30th. I'll be headlining there for the first time, and that's going to be really, really fun. I got some shit throughout the week.
They'll see you on social media. And I'll say this before we go. There's a few comics in Atlanta I like to watch, and you are one of my favorite ones to watch. I believe I told you one night, you was probably didn't remember, like, who is this guy?
After I stopped getting you confused with the dude from D.C., what was his name? He left, though. He ain't here no more. Keith.
Yeah.
I used to get you confused with Keith
when
I first met both of y'all.
I don't know how Keith got this big ass beard. Well, he didn't have a beard when he was here.
Yeah. Right, he didn't. I used to call Keith Keno all the time.
Because now people call me Keno.
Ah, hilarious. Now I don't know where they're doing that at.
I don't know. It's always wacky.
So yeah. There's a few cats here. Beast, Ronnie Jordan, Marvin Hunter, Double D. There's a lot of cats.
You naming my favorite comedians.
Yeah. Because y'all got like styles that just. Keep hitting them. So I like that type of comedy. So yeah, there's a few dudes in Atlanta I like to watch. And yeah. I've seen all y'all sets over and over again, but I enjoy them every time.
Cool, man. Yeah. Thank you,
that's
brother.
That's a true measure of a comic. So to all the listeners out there, man, make sure y'all check out Tyler Does, Tyler Chronicles, whatever you want to call him. He's out there. He's in the next wave of Atlanta people.
We in the next wave, man. What you talking about? Hey, look, don't go out for next. Well, go out for next for last comic next year. But don't expect to win.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm only saying, you know why I'm saying that?
Because somebody black just won.
Two black males.
Yeah, two black
so
males.
So female is winning the shit next year. Yeah. I don't give a damn if she goes up there and says, potato salad. And that's it.
Was genius.
Oh, my God. The writing is incredible. She's winning. So just know that. It's like, go for the exposure. If you're out there and you're black and you're listening to us and you're a black male comedian and you go on the last comic next year, go for the exposure, but do not get your hopes up. Because that show will go off the air if another black male wins it. That show is off the air. Been on the air 15 years. It's gone.
Especially black from Atlanta.
What? Damn it.
Oh, speaking of last comic standing, next week for the listeners out there, we got LeVar Walker coming through. LeVar is coming through here, last comic standing. He won Miller Genuine Draft. He's been on Shaq's comedy tour thing. He's been on numerous everything, Red Cup Boys, everything. So
a million views on his T.I. impersonation.
Yeah, T.I. is the best T.I. impersonation in the game. He kind of shocked me when I saw him on Instagram next to Skull Bubble talking about, I pull the plugs out, I'll kill you right now. But that was...
What?
I didn't see that. That's so funny. Skull Bubble would appreciate it.
LeVar Walker next weekend. Next week on the Keno Tri Show. Okay. So everybody listening online, everybody called in. Make sure y'all have a good week, and I'll see you next time. Peace.
Yo, he did that. Did he say that, or he just...
We're going to skate to one song only. So I ball so hard, motherfuckers want to find me. First nigga gotta find me. What's 50 grand to a motherfucker like me? Can you please remind me? Ball so hard, this shit crazy. Y'all don't know that, don't shit phase. And as we go, 0 for 82 when I look at you like this shit crazy. Ball so hard, this shit weird. We ain't even pro be here. Ball so hard, this we here. It's only right that we be fair. Psycho, I'm LiBo, to go Michael. Take your pick, Jackson, Tyson, Jordan, Game 6. Ball so hard, got a broke clock. Rollies that don't tick tock. All the mods that's losing time, hitting behind all these big rocks. Ball so hard, I'm shocked too. I'm supposed to be locked up too. You escape, but I escape. You be in Paris getting fucked up too. Ball so hard, let's get faded. Liberties for like 6 days. Gold bottles, gold models, spilling ace on my 6 days. Ball so hard, bitch, behave. Just might let you meet, yay. Shot town, T-Rose, moving the next BK. Ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me. That shit crazy. That shit crazy.
that shit crack.
Walk on so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me.
That shit crack. That shit crack. That shit crack. She said, yeah, can we get married at the mile? I'm saying, look, you need to cry for your bar. Come and meet me in the bathroom style. And show me why you deserve to have it all.
Ball so hot.
That shit crack.
That shit crack.
Ain't it, Jay?
Ball so hot.
What she order?
What she order?
Fish filet.
Ball so hot.
Your whip so cold.
Whip so cold.
This whole thing.
Ball so hot.
Like you ever be around motherfuckers like this again. Who's your girl? Grab her hand. Fuck that bitch, you don't wanna dance. Excuse my friends, but I'm in France. I'm just saying, Prince Williams ain't do it right if you ask me. Cause I was him, I would've
married Kate and Ashley.
Was Gucci my nigga? Was Louis my killer? Was drugs my dealer? What's that jacket, Margiela? Doctors say I'm the illest, cause I'm suffering from realness. Got my niggas in Paris, and they going gorillas, huh?
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It's
getting the people going.
Ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me. Ball so hard, motherfuckers wanna find me.
Watching the throne, don't let me get in my zone. Don't let me get in my zone. Don't let me get in my zone. These other niggas is lying, acting like the summer ain't mine.
I got that hot bitch in my home.
You know how many hot bitches I own. Don't let me get in my zone. 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 The stars is in the building, they hands to the ceiling. I know I'm about to kill it. How you know I got that feeling? You are now watching the throne. Don't let me into my zone. Don't let me into my zone. I'm definitely in my zone.
Yeah, this is Tyler Chronicles, man, and even though you can't hear us, you can feel us, what we talking about. You know what I'm talking about? Right here. Hold on. Just cut me in again. I knew I was going to forget.
Nah, everybody has trouble with it.
And you're listening to the Kino Trishow, but that's so easy. That's so easy. So easy. Do it again.
And do what it is.